A lot of your films are shot in locations in UK. For example, say if London, you know, Austerlitz Park or Longleat Castle. What goes behind the scene? You know, how you select these places, the lovely places, and
Well, shooting in abroad started many years ago. Of course, it wasn't as frequent, if you like, as today. One of the first films that were ever shot in the UK was a film called Sangam by Mr. Raj Kapoor, and he shot that here in the UK. Mr. Manoj Kumar shot Purab Paschim here, which was again based here. Then Mr. Yash Chopra shot a film called Silsila in Holland with the tulip gardens and everything else. And then subsequent to that, it was Lamhe, which was shot in the UK. But all these films used England as where the you know the setting of the film was, perhaps. What really changed everything was a film called Dilwale Dulhaniya Le Jayenge. Dilwale was a film that was had the hero and the heroine based in the UK.
talk of the story.
So what they could be termed as your typical British Asian kids who perhaps grew up here. Also, the film storyline was such where because the girl is taken back home for an arranged marriage and the boy goes back to get her back, during that time there were a lot of people that could relate to that emotion because either they knew of somebody that it had happened to or they were perhaps going through it themselves. So what happened was that those things were happening, and because Dilwale was based in London, and the way it was perhaps filmed, and you know, you went to Europe for an interrail holiday kind of thing. After that film, it became a norm to shoot in London or abroad, and as a result, a lot of other films started to shoot here. Now we, as a company, tend to shoot abroad quite a bit, and that it's primarily for two reasons. One is sometimes our scripts are based or developed in a way that you know you're dealing with NRIs. Two, it's always great glamour that's added to your film because of the locations are a little alien to the common man in India, and it really works well. The other thing is, of course, that when you shoot in locations abroad, the NRIs living abroad relate to it as well. The other thing is, of course, that if that's the requirement of the script, then that's where you will go. We shot Mohabbatein, like you said, at Longleat House, but it was never meant to be Longleat House in the film. It was only done because that was the requirement of the script. We needed a very colonial-looking building, which was to be a school, and we scouted everywhere in India, here, Scotland, even Canada. And we couldn't find what we were looking for. And I personally spent about 2 weeks on the road looking for that location, because when we were finally zeroing in on it, I must have visited perhaps 20 castles and or such heritage homes, and then we finally zeroed in on that. So it was a very integral part of the script. Actually, the Longleat House school, or as it was in the film Gurukul, was a character in the film. So it's very important to get the right building, the right structure. As Aditya Chopra's brief to me was that he wanted a long driveway leading up to a very imposing colonial home, or colonial school, and the Longleat House fitted the bill perfectly. There are other occasions when we've shot here in the UK, where something different always adds more to your film. It adds to the frame, it adds to the glamour, and that's part of the reason why we use those things.
Coming back to British Born Asians, what is the attraction of Indian music and Indian cinema? Because they are born and brought up in this country, they must be listening to English music. Why do they spend a large part of their entertainment time on things Indian?
That's true, but I think what has happened is that with the first generation Asians that came over from India or Pakistan or Bangladesh, they themselves, to some extent, I believe, and I could be wrong, they had a certain inferiority complex. They went out of their way to try and perhaps not put themselves out there. You know, they were just happy to just be here and mingle and earn enough money to send back the money from wherever they came from. The second, third generation Asian kids here are very comfortable with who they are. They make no apology for being Indian or Pakistani or Bangladeshi, and I think that's their biggest strength. They are as good or as bad, and or in many cases better than their white counterparts here. And it's that confidence that allows them to say, hey, you know what, I'm okay to listen to a Madonna album, but I'm equally okay to listen to a Hindi film album or a Bhangra album, because that's me, and that those are my roots, and you can't take that away from me. And that comes from their own stability as people and their own pride in being who they are. And I think that's where they're able to now say, we are British, we are British Asians. And part of being British Asian is that we will basically not let go of who we are, but we will still be a part of the British culture.